You ever wonder who is the actual mastermind behind successful tech projects? Spoiler alert, it's not who you think it is. In the next 60 seconds, I will unveil to you the unsung heroes of tech innovation. First, with, of course, the technical project manager. Second, the technical project team. Now, I understand you may be thinking to yourself, well, Edie, what you going to talk about? You're going to talk about the scope. You're going to talk about the technical aspect of things. We're going to do something a little bit different. You know my motto. You know what I do here. I disrupt. The reason why I disrupt is because I want to make sure that you have the best information for you if you make the decision to step into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. So buckle up, because this is where tech meets tenacity, resilience, and trust me, you don't want to miss a bit of this of today's episode. If you're new to the channel, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means Ed. I have an 8-point framework, and these 8 points, my goal, my mission, my job today is to unpack today's episode, which is entitled, "What does a technical project manager do?" No, Ed, be honest with me. No, what do they really, really do? Not this. Yeah, the project scope, I get that. Yeah, the project timeline, yeah, I get that. But what are the inner workings? Well, you came to the right place. Get you a bag of popcorn. If you don't eat popcorn, get you a soda. If you don't drink soda, just get you a cup of water or some tea or something and get into this information. Let's get into point number one. Point number one. Ooh, I'm gonna ruffle some feathers, but. Okay, here we go. Point number one, navigating organizational politics. You know, family, one of the things as a technical project manager, you often have to navigate the politics of the power dynamics within an organization. Now, I would love to say every organization doesn't have this, but that's not true, and I wouldn't be truthful to you. There are certain organizations that really work their do their very best to protect about some of the things we're going to discuss around this piece here of the navigating organizational politics. But you know what, it reminds me of something that Robert Greene said when he was talking about writing the 48 laws of power or the 33 strategies of war or even the 50th law of power. He has so many, but if you can't tell, I'm a Robert Greene fan. But the point he was making is he said he was putting the information out because he's experienced either he watched it or he heard about it. And he wanted to make sure that if you're ever against these things, these political ploys, that you can understand what's going on. Because a lot of times when I stepped into this career, I was just like, this is crazy. Like, you know, watching two stakeholders go at each other. And then after the meeting, they're fine. And they go out to lunch together. And I'm like, what is this? Where am I working at? But it was the culture. And it wasn't even, and the thing about it is, that wasn't even a toxic, somebody that's walking in as new, it looked toxic. But what it was is the technical project manager at that time, he was ensuring that it didn't spill over where it impacted the project. So he let them go. He let them talk, you know, talk it out and talk through it. And when you have when you're in an organization and you have to navigate certain people that are playing political games, because a lot of them don't, there, but the some that do makes it up for everything. And so you want to be able to develop a stakeholder influence map that defines the key decision makers, influencers, gatekeepers for projects, and try to understand their interests, their motivations, and potential impact on a project. See, a lot of times these political games that happen is because you're not involving the right stakeholder as a technical project manager. You're not doing the extra step. You're not asking your team and just circling back and putting out a notification to, hey, we're about to get ready to start this project, basically kick off project. And we want to make sure we have all the appropriate stakeholders and start documenting that stuff until you can start remembering it. And the reason why is that because you want to make sure that you get the right people that can give you the proper support while you're navigating and leading this project effectively. Point number two, manage project dependency. There's going to be a lot of me laughing here because it brings back so many memories. I mean, because of the fact of when you look at this, If you don't do these things well, yes, managing the scope, yes, managing time, yes, managing costs, yes, the quality. I just discussed the triple constraints, but what I'm saying here, or the iron triangle, what I am saying here is the fact that you need to be aware of these things. So this is why I bring it to the episode, family, because I want you to be aware of some of these things. Okay, managing project dependencies. Technical project managers, they have to manage dependencies, and it could be resource related, it could be software, hardware, it could be another project that you're waiting to get for it to be completed before you could even think about kicking your project off, because they needed to finish one of the aspects that you need for your particular project. I'll give you a basic example. It's sort of like, let's say, I don't know, maybe you want, let's say you were building, you know, you just got a bike and you needed to, but they just sent you the frame and you're like, okay, but I need tires. Well, until you get tires, you're not really going nowhere. Okay, I don't like that example. Here's a better example. What I am trying to say, family, is that there could be a particular project that you kind of tie into, but you don't tie into that particular project as far as the dependencies have such a big impact that if it doesn't finish, you can't even start your project. I think that's a better example. So basically what I'm saying is develop like I would recommend developing like a project dependency matrix. And really what this will do for you is understand what particular projects that may impact George. And you may even want to just go out and connect with other project managers within your organization and start having these conversations. This is important. This is why the PMO is very important in a particular organization. By the way, you know, PMO book is coming soon. But anyway, I digress. But seriously, family, being able to connect with other project managers and you guys have conversations about the projects that you guys are leading, you may find out, oh man, what, you know what? But I think my project ties into yours in some kind of way. But again, you know, that's one of the things that you, it's important to make these connections and relationships. All right, I'm sorry. I'm really talking a lot here because I'm super excited about this topic, if you can't tell, but I digress. Point number three, managing vendor relationships. Listen, family, it's imperative. It is important. You can keep going on and keep describing and everything, but the point of it is the reason, the relationship between the vendor and the team is so important, especially on technical projects, because if a vendor ships something for you, I remember there was a project I was leading and they shipped exactly what we asked for, but then the client came back and said, oh, I know we only said 100, but we actually need 150 workstations. And you're like, and when I refer to workstation, I'm talking about monitor, keyboard, and basically a desktop computer. And we were like, do you know, in our mind, we're like, do you know? Well, and we were like, all right, we'll get back to you. So we had to get on the phone with the vendor, call in a favor. But if we didn't develop that good rapport and relationship with the vendor and treated the vendor any kind of way, anytime I have a vendor, I want to treat them like they are definitely part of the project, because that way, when you need to call in a favor and vice versa, the vendor may, and a vendor came back and was like, hey guys, I know we said this, but this particular price, but we had, unfortunately, we couldn't do that because of certain things that happened during the trend, you know, so we'll eat half of it if you guys wouldn't mind eating another half. And you're like, yeah, of course, because you expedited some workstations that we needed and you didn't even charge us anything. So it kind of washes itself. What I mean by that, family, is having those secure, clear understanding of relationship, whether it's around your service level SLAs, service level agreements, your KPIs for the vendor, key performance indicators. You want to make sure that you have a constant communication with your vendor, not some, okay, I'll just check in with them once a month or everyone. No, we're having frequent conversation. I'm gonna call you once a week or depending on where we're at or even more to make sure that everything is lined up so we don't miss nothing. Because if we miss something and you catch it, that's great, because now you got our back, and vice versa, we need to have your back, because you want to be able to do business with us, and we want to work with a vendor that is reliable and also making sure that they have a sense of urgency. Let's move on to point number four, cross-functional team leadership. Listen, family, in a technical, mostly all projects, but majority of projects, but especially a technical project, I've noticed compared to my non-technical project, there is a lot of cross-functional interaction, or I should say integration with other departments. And so you have to be able to establish a regular cadence of communication, coordination channels, ensuring that the team understands where the project is at, where it's going, if there's any, you know, impediments, anything that's getting in the way from the actual project team delivering on the things they need to do. And you need to be able to share, even though you're sharing this information, you also need to get feedback back as well. And what I've noticed, sometimes people don't feel comfortable talking in front of a group. They say the number one fear is public speaking. So being in a group of people, sometimes they don't feel comfortable. So what will happen is I'll get a chat to say, hey, you mind, can we connect after the call? Or they'll tell me in chat and I'll bring it up on the call. So what I also recommend there is if they don't tell you or they don't give you feedback, I would just set up one-on-ones with some of these key players and even non-key players, because what you want to be able to do is be able to get that feedback and funnel it through the team so we can take immediate action if it's required. Point number five, communicate project status to senior management. Family, when I first had the first time I've ever had communicated to executive or senior management, it was a disaster. Reason why I say it was a disaster, it wasn't because I didn't know the information, because I knew it so thoroughly. It was because I gave too much information. You're like, what are you saying? Listen, when you go into these project status meetings, I didn't know at the time, you don't tell them everything that's going on. You tell the executives where the project is at, and again, where's that? Any roadblocks, anything you need from any of their teams, and if not, then okay, we're in good status. Allow them to be engaging and ask the questions. And I didn't get that at the time. So especially technical project manager, we walk in there, we start talking all this technical mumbo jumbo, and they looking at us like, okay, so where's the project at? You know, where's this widget that's going to be built? So again, you have to understand, you know what I always say here, family, is knowing your audience. The moment you walk in there, you can start talking about things, and you have to watch. And that's another thing, family. We don't talk about this enough as project managers, the ability to read the room. What does that mean, ED? When you're watching, you're talking, you kind of see people or they just get very disinterested. They start looking off here and looking off there. You're like, wait a minute. All right, how do I bring them back? Maybe what I'm talking about. So how do I adapt? How do I maintain that agility? So what I'm saying, family, is the ability to articulate to senior management, it's about telling them where the project is at a high level, and then opening the floor for further dialogue. If they want to go deeper into your project and talk about your risk register, your issue log, here's the key. I had to put up the finger, the one, you know, hey, the message. No, seriously, this is the key, family. You want to ensure that you're over prepared. Why do you want to see if you over, why you just said, ED, that you just give an update to the executive at a high level? Yeah, I do. But if they start asking questions and start digging deeper and deeper, you want to have the artifacts to break, to back it up. You want to have, you know what I'm going to say, documentation always beats conversation. So you want to have all the documents ready to go, everything that you want to have. You don't want to be fumbling and be like, oh, well, yeah, hold on, hold on for a minute. Let me go grab this and let me do, when I'm in front of the executive, I'll have various tabs open, just ready. Well, you want to know about the project schedule? Boom. You want to know about the project management plan? Boom. Risk register. I'll have all of these tabs open and I'm ready to go, just in case if you want to ask me something deeper than what we're here to give a update on the project status. So I know I went over that really, really gave a lot there, but it's important, family, to understand and know your audience when you're having this discussion, especially with executives, because they're jumping from meeting to meeting. So how can you impress upon them of what you need from them, whether you need a resource, whether you need money, whatever that thing is, to be able to articulate it in a way that arrests their attention, that they want to listen and they want to be, and they're excited when you come in because they know you're going to be crisp, sharp, straight to the point. Hey, this is where we're at, you know, and just hitting each particular point. If you guys want me to do a deep dive of how I would do that, leave in the comments. Hey, ED, do a deep dive on how you talk to executives when you're giving a project status update, something like that. Or, you know what, I'll make it even simpler. Type in the comments, project status. Again, project status, and I'll do, and if I get enough, I'll do a deep dive of what it would look like, because I really want to ensure that we set you up for success if you ever got to get in front of an executive to articulate where your project is at. Point number six, managing meetings effectively. I should have said efficiently, because it's effectively and efficiently. One of the things, family, I want you to be aware of is that one of your biggest time, I don't want to use wasters, but one of your biggest time moments is going to be meetings. Sometimes people like to go to meetings just to say they had a meeting. Sometimes people like to go to meetings so they can hide from other people. But overall, family, when you get someone in that meeting, again, you want to get straight to the point. What's the agenda? Like I've shared with you before, I've gotten away from more of a agenda-led type of conversation and more of a, I use more of I'll say more of an agile type mindset and say, okay, these are the outcomes I'm looking to get out this meeting. If anything happens outside of that, great, if the time permits, but this is the outcome I'm looking for. I want to know where the, where we're at on this particular widget. Are you having any issues? What does our risk register look like? We need to review this. So I'm looking for outcomes because I want to make sure that people know when you come to my meeting, we're going to be driven on outcomes. I don't want to sit there and have a full discussion about that is that has no relevance to the project until we get the business out the way first. All right, move on to point number seven. Resolve team conflicts. Message, listen, family. When you sign up for this thing that I love, that I do hope you fall in love with, called project management, you will be called upon to solve conflicts. You want to do your best to try to and solve it on your level first, meaning when I say your level, meaning because you don't want to, you, one thing you don't want to happen is it disrupts the team and it becomes more of an issue than anything. Because when it becomes an issue to the team's, I've seen it time, anytime you have some people, let's call them disruptors. Anytime you have some disruptors on your, that's part of your project team, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be an uphill battle until you can get that person course corrected, meaning whether you have a conversation with them one-on-one. If that doesn't work, then you bring their manager in. If that doesn't work, you go to that manager's manager and say, hey, I can't have this person in my calls, because, or in the meetings, or just in general on this project, because they're a disruptor. They're disrupting the team. The team spend more time going back and forth an email instead of jumping on a call because this person won't get on a call. So it's those type of things, you know, that you got to be cognizant of and watch for. Point number eight, advocate for the project team. Man, I wish project managers did more of this. You know, listen, family, you're working with a team, and if they're amazing, if they're really, you know, delivering on the thing they made a commitment to, not an interest to, but a commitment to, and they're actually delivering, they're not making excuses, they're working on solving, excuse me, the problem and putting a lot of energy in the problem, excuse me, a lot of energy in the solution and not the problem. And they're looking and they're support, they're collaborating together. You need to acknowledge these resources. You know, you need to send an email to their manager if they have any type of, I don't know, some organizations will have it where you can nominate somebody. You need to be doing that, family. And I say you need to be doing that as a project manager, project coordinator, program manager, and above, because again, you know, sometimes their direct manager, they have more of a high level overview of what they're doing. They might not know the details or the struggle that they actually had to go through in order to get there. So I always recommend, you know, if you have some great stakeholders that you're engaged with and working with, send a note. Hey man, send an email to that manager. It's really been a pleasure to work with someone like this that is professional, that really is there for the team. It's not about that person. these are the type of comments, because what happens is if you do this well enough, the team is going to want to, those type of people are going to want to work back with you. Why? Because you're acknowledging them. And on top of that, if that stakeholder, which is probably going to do this anyway, they could take that email that you sent and put it in their performance appraisal. So again, it's a win-win all the way around. I have one bonus for you, then I'll get into my closing remarks, family. Bonus. Negotiate with stakeholders. Listen, you know, one of the things, I probably might even write a book on this about negotiating with stakeholders. I've spent a lot of time in my career negotiating with managers. Hey, can I get John for an hour? Nope, I can't get him. Can I get him for 45 minutes? Nope, can I get him at least for 30? And reason why I say that, family, is because, again, I know every project manager, and I'm just going to put it out there, we think our project is the priority. Like, there's no other projects that exist. So you have to keep in mind, family, when you're working with a team, the ability to negotiate with the stakeholder and their manager is going to be key, because you may need this resource longer than what you had planned for. And if that's the case, you're going to need to go and have that conversation. And it may be a difficult conversation. However, it needs to happen. So the ability to negotiate, the most of the times is just really negotiating for resources, and sometimes even negotiating for supplies, meaning, hey, for if you're work, let's say I needed to, let's say we were building a server on the premises and I needed certain things, but this was going to another facility. I could have been like, hey, is there a way that we can get this, and I'll place my order and you can get it shipped to yours, because our site is almost completed. You guys is 6 months out. So is that okay? And so it's certain things like that that you'll pick up along the way of being able to negotiate. Here's my three closing remarks, family. I'm sorry I kept you as long as I did, but this is impactful and powerful for you, especially if you want to get into the side of the business of being a technical project manager, because I know we talk about a lot of times about the charter and the project management plan. Those are all really great things, but I'm talking about once you're in this role, or if you're thinking about getting into this role, these are the things you need to look for and you need to pay attention to, because if you don't, then you're going to start, you know, creating self-doubt, like I can't do this role and things of that nature. When that's not the case, you just didn't have the manual, which I'm giving to you right now. Here's my three closing remarks. Point number one, manage project dependencies. As I said, there may be deliverables that may be aligned to your project that you're not aware of. And so you need to find out what projects are out there and which ones that may have a impact. Maybe they're using a portfolio type management type tools where you can see all the projects and then you can click on and do further research. I've done that before because I realize the importance of, if there's another project that may be tied to mine and that may be putting me on hold because I can't go until that is done, I'm stuck. So again, having the ability to manage those dependencies and follow up on those dependencies as well with the particular project manager. Point number two, navigating organizational politics. I know a lot of times we like to shy away from this, but as I talked about, you need to shy into it, literally, because you need to understand that being able to navigate these organizational politics, and again, everyone is not playing politics, but for those that made that decision to play politics with you, you need to understand how to respond to that and understand who has your back and who doesn't, so you know how to move accordingly. And my last and final one, family, is communicating project status to senior management. Again, as I said before, every organization I've ever been in, you have to be careful with giving too much information too soon. You need to be able to have that information organized in a way where that you can articulate it and someone should be able to know exactly where your project is at. If you're on schedule, behind schedule, if you're on cost or you're behind cost, if you're in scope or without a scope, and what the quality is. Like, those are the iron triangle. They should be able to understand that. And again, if they want to know more, then you open the door up for further questions and you're prepared, because as I stated, you'll have various tabs open. Anyway, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Again, this is really good this translates over to non-technical project managers as well. But today my emphasis was on technical project managers because there's always a question like, what do they do? All these things that I talked about, they have to do. And sometimes more than a non-technical project manager, because due to the fact that there's so many moving pieces, like I talked about the dependency aspect of things. So I'll wrap it up, family. You know my motto, you know my slogan. If you don't, I appreciate you. I hope you appreciate me, and I hope you appreciate today's episode. Until next time, I'm out.